This is Ben Gujan with Quad City Arts, and welcome back to Talking Art, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today, I am talking art with Kevin Maynard, Executive Director of Quad City Arts, who, after 6 years with the organization, will be moving on to serve as the Executive Director of Opening Nights at Florida State University. Kevin, welcome to Talking Art.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little insider baseball since you also host this podcast sometime.
That's true.
But you're moving on, you know, which is a very bittersweet thing for us. Obviously, we're very proud of your accomplishments and your new position, but we're sad to be losing you, both here on the podcast and in the office.
Yeah, it is bittersweet. I mean, I think, you know, we've accomplished a lot over the past 6 years, and I think that Quad City Arts is still poised to do some really incredible things. I mean, as you know, I mean, we have a very strong team in the organization, and, you know, we're working towards some even bigger things. But it is bittersweet. Like, it is both exciting to be moving on to FSU, but also it's going to be hard leaving the Quad Cities and leaving Quad City Arts specifically.
Well, yeah, and you grew up in this area, mm-hmm. so this is home.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. I think it'll remain home because my family's still here, so people are still going to be stuck with seeing me at least a few times a year.
So tell us about this very exciting new opportunity and position you've got.
Yeah, so Florida State University has this great program called Opening Nights. And 25 or 26 years ago, it started as 7 days of Opening Nights. And it was a president's initiative to do basically a mini festival for a week long of like some big acts at the university. And it has sort of grown into something bigger. It still remains Opening Nights, but now they bring in 25 to 30 performing artists throughout the year. And they also have Opening Nights in Class as well, which is basically similar to our Visiting Artist series, where they take an artist and put them into the schools in Leon County in Florida there.
Sure. And what kind of artists are they bringing in?
It ranges like all over the board. So for instance, on this season, last weekend they had Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Oh, fun.
And, you know, next, or I think on Sunday, they're going to have Samara Joy, who is a jazz artist.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they've got a spoken word artist coming in. Margot Price, the country artist, is going to be there. And it's a wide variety. There are comedians, some folk groups, some dance groups.
Some dance.
Yeah, it's all over the place. So it really allows for someone in my position to really, you know, sort of shape some of that programming there.
That's terrific. Well, yeah, and I was reading a bit about the history of the program, and they started bringing in artists from outside in the early 20s.
Yeah.
You know, and had groups like John Philip Sousa and Count Basie, the Metropolitan Opera Touring Company. So it's big, nationally renowned groups that you're going to get to work with down there.
Yeah, which will be very exciting.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit before we sign off and switch to the podcast portion. But in your time at Quad City Arts, what are the things that you are proudest of?
Honestly, it's the things that people don't get to see. It's the team that we've built at Quad City Arts. I mean, not just the folks that I've hired, but the folks that, you know, we have shifted the programming and the things that we're doing. We've made a very big shift into accessibility and talking about representation. And I think that while we're not perfect, and we are still sorting some of those things out, we have made very big strides in that with both the visual arts and the performing arts. And, you know, we talk all the time about how students deserve to see themselves represented on stage, and we're accomplishing that every year. And so that makes me very, very proud to see. But really, it's the team.
Yeah. And we've got a great team there. So insert name of guest here. Oh, Kevin.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. Before you were at Quad City Arts, you had been at the Orpheum Theater down in Galesburg.
Yes.
And I know one thing that we've talked about is with this transition for you is the desire to get back into programming.
Yes.
What about programming do you love?
Oh, I think what's exciting about programming is that it changes all the time. It's not the same thing over and over again. I mean, you get to experience this with the artists coming on the Visiting Artist series where, yeah. you know, sometimes it's a little bit of a puzzle where you get to figure out like where they should go, what time of the year they should be in, like what audiences you need to try to get them in front of. And sometimes it's just figuring out how to do a show with the different backline and technical needs to see that you can do that. So like, sure. I love the puzzle of that. What I also love is getting to know the community and getting to know the venues to be able to bring in the right folks that connect well with that community. And that's what I love about programming. And selfishly, like, I get to see some really cool artists. I mean, someday I'd love to be in a venue where I can book, you know, like, just the things that I want to see.
Right.
But, you know, regardless of, like, you know, I'm not going to be able to book, you know, like, I for people that don't know, I really love heavy metal music. Like, I'm not going to book metal bands, but, like, I get right. to see some really cool artists come through.
Well, yeah, and that's one thing that we talk a lot about at Quad City Arts is the fact that we are not art curators, that we do not try to curate and force our individual artist wants on the community, but are here to support the community. But with curating a program, there is a little more of that.
There's a little balance. I think the nice thing is that, you know, you get to know the community, you get to know what they're coming out to right now, what they want to see. The other thing that's really cool is you get to be the dream maker when somebody's like, oh, I really wish we could get this artist here. And the reality is like, you can.
Sure.
It's just money.
Right.
Like, if you can make the money work, like, you can get anybody there. So it's figuring out that puzzle, but then it's also realizing that, okay, well, if they like this, I wonder if I could get them to go just a little bit further and try this out and maybe see something that they might not think that they would enjoy, but they're willing to give a shot on it. And then you find they learn about something completely different. It is my introduction to dance is what I always tell people.
Sure.
When I was growing up, did not see any dance, didn't think I liked dance. And then I had a friend who took me to see one thing. They were like, oh, this is this really cool piece. And I wish I could remember the company that does it, but it's this piece that's done like with a timed out strobe light to this track. And you never see the dancer touch the ground throughout the whole thing. Like it looks like she is flying through the air. It's one of the coolest pieces I've ever seen. But when I saw that, I went, oh, I do like dance. Like, right. I just never have seen a style that really resonated with me. It's still an art form that I'm not quite proficient in, that I know what I like when I see it.
I can dance, Kevin.
Yeah.
Very proficient.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But yeah, it's those sort of moments where you're like, okay, can I encourage an audience to come see something that might push them a little bit out of their comfort zone, but not like, you know, not alienate them entirely.
Well, sure. And that's kind of the trick of, you know, I know you travel a lot and see programming all around mm-hmm. the world, and at Edinburgh, but
yeah,
you know, seeing something that is amazing and incredible, but your average ticket buyer may not see that name or that company on your season lineup and say, oh, I want to see that.
Yes.
You know, how do you approach going about educating your audiences as a presenter of like, you don't know this thing, but yeah. if you see it, you're going to love it.
Those are the things that I think take at least a year, maybe 2 years, where you have to get people to sort of either trust the program or trust you as the presenter, yeah. To sort of really get to the point of being like, I don't know this artist, but I know that Kevin, or I know that Quad City Arts or Opening Nights or whoever that organization is bringing it in. So odds are it's going to be good. If you can build that level of trust, like, that's the ideal scenario.
Yeah.
There is also a level of, you know, marketing and getting out in front of people and talking to people about just like how impressive some of these artists are. There is, you know, some really incredible international programming that, honestly, I hope to be able to not only bring into FSU, but partner with Quad City Arts to bring in, because there's just a couple pieces that I've seen over the past couple of years that I think are going to resonate really well with this community.
Sure.
Because I think it resonates well with just about every community. And so the nice thing is that as you move on in this industry, you keep a lot of these connections. Right. So while, you know, I may not be like hyper local in the Quad Cities, like there's still opportunities even as far as Florida to be able to partner in some of those programming needs.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned earlier that at FSU there is also an educational component mm-hmm. with some of these artists, you know, yep. and that's, I know with the Visiting Artist Series, wanting to bring in artists who A, are incredible artists, but also are able to connect with our youth and show them different forms and different styles
Absolutely.
Of music, of dance that they may not have seen before.
Absolutely.
That are equally impressive mm-hmm. and incredible and all of that.
Yeah.
So thinking about kind of your time with Quad City Arts, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about legacy, you know, and us not being the curators of art in the Quad yeah. Cities. One thing that I really love that you did here is the creation of the Artist Index. Mm. You know, can you tell us a little more about that for
yeah.
the people who have not?
So for anybody who hasn't experienced the Artist Index, you can go to quadcityarts.com. Up on the top menu bar, there's a button for Artist Index. You click on that and it'll take you to our local Artist Index. And that Artist Index is for any artist who is 18 and older to put their information in. And ideally, people in our community and maybe not in our community will be able to find an artist for a certain art form for a project that they're looking for. And this sort of stemmed from a few different things for us. Every time we would go to some sort of forum or feedback or like, you know, talk like people to doing like public forums about, you know, what do we want to see in the arts and culture in the Quad Cities? This thing kept coming up and it's like, oh, we should make like a list of artists in our area that, you know, if I want to have a mural, I just can look this up. And at first he was like, oh, yeah, like we can totally do that. That's a really easy thing for us to do.
Yeah.
And then you start thinking about like the logistics of that to make it actually functional. And then you realize that, oh, like this takes some real programming. Like it takes to figure out, you've got to be able to have them be able to update it. You've got to have it be searchable. You need to give examples of their artwork. You also want people to be able to contact them because for right. us, like, you know, in sort of the for-profit world, the ideal scenario there is that you contact Quad City Arts, we contact the artist, we take a percentage.
Right.
And yes, you can still do that for large projects. People do because we have the expertise to manage that and to program that and to make sure that certain things aren't missed because that's what we do on a daily basis. But for a lot of projects, if you're just looking for, say, somebody to come paint a portrait of your kids, like you don't need Quad City Arts to right. do the logistics on that. So this way you can contact directly, you can work with the artist directly and it cuts us out, but it allows us to be able to make that connection. For us, it was also this accessibility front. Using murals as an example, for the longest time, we knew that there was a lot of people doing murals in the community, but we only know who we know. You know, for instance, Sarah Robb is a great artist, works in our Metro Art Series. So when, you know, somebody's looking for a mural, Sarah's a great one to go to because we know her, we trust her. But the reality is that there are a lot of other mural artists in the community as well. And so now, instead of just saying like, here's the mural artist we know, we can send a link that says, here's the mural artist in our community. What style do you like? And we can go from there. So obviously Sarah's on that list, but there are also other great artists like Atlanta Dawn, Brandon Neese, Heidi Salos, and multiple other folks. So I think that those are some really great things to be able to do both internally and externally. And it's a really cool thing. And I will let people know here that we're actually in talks with the state of Illinois to create a performing artist version of that. That's essentially built off the backbone of the visual artist one we've created here because they wanted to create a very similar thing, but on the performing art side.
Sure.
And so we've built it. and so we're working with them and it'll soon be working with Twin States to make that happen.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Well, and that's, you know, so much of being an artist is getting the word out and marketing yourself, which you go to art school and they don't teach you about. So
yeah. Well, and that's
being able to have a tool
exactly
to help artists.
That's a great point, is that, you know, for an artist who maybe doesn't want to invest into a website yet, or maybe just doesn't have the capability to, this is an easy way to create a space where they can show off their work and yeah. their contact information and a little bit about them in a very easy function. I mean, you can share the link directly to your artist page there if you would like.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thinking about murals, one thing I wanted to talk about was the placemaking and the public art mm-hmm. that we've been able to start bringing into the Quad Cities, the larger scale
yeah.
stuff. And obviously murals are always a very visible thing.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about how you see public art fitting into a city or an area and how that functions and how that works to placemake?
Yeah.
You know what placemaking is for
yeah.
people that may not know.
Yeah, I guess sort of at its core, placemaking is working with the community that is living in that area to create a space that is both functional and like artistic, I guess, that people want to be in. So it's not just public art. It's also the functionality of a space. Rock Island right now is a great example because it's completely tore up downtown, but there's a lot of things that they are putting into that to make it a bit more functional, like Second Avenue becoming, you know, both a pedestrian area, but also like cars can be able to still go through it, but also being able to shut that off in a way that they can use it for farmers markets or events or, sure. or those sort of things. And in a way that looks quite beautiful and enticing. And so that when it's not a road, it still looks like an event area. Right. And when it's an event, or when it's not an event area, you can still tell like, oh, this is where the cars go. Like there's a design function to that. But then they've also done a way to like add a lot of art into that, a lot of art and design, because studies continue to show that arts and culture is what drives people to live in a community. Public art and placemaking, like the idea of having more public art and more arts available in a community, is becoming almost as high of a factor of where to live as the jobs that you can get. For primarily like Gen Zers and millennials and the younger, like they want to live in a place that is exciting, that is cool, and arts and culture is a ticket to get there. So adding yeah. more art, it makes people want to visit. So we got into this, we being Quad City Arts, got into this in a few ways. We started having this conversation, you know, I would say prior to the pandemic, but really during the pandemic, because we had this moment where it was like we couldn't gather for performing arts unless it was outside. But there was also a lot of opportunities to create art, just not in the performance realm. And so it was like, well, how do we make that happen? And so we leaned into the public art and placemaking aspect of it because it's an easier form to do. You have a couple of artists that can do things outside, and it helps beautify a community. So at the same time, the city of Moline was working on a public art and placemaking plan. And so I sat on the committee for that. And, you know, I, as well as Quad City Arts, advocated for this plan because obviously we want to see public art everywhere in the community. We also advocated for it because it's the only plan in the Quad Cities that includes a perpetual funding model for arts and culture, which is huge. So we wanted to see that happen. And because of that, we like the Moline Public Art Commission was created and we started doing public art projects first with them and then with the city of Rock Island and the city of Davenport. And we've done these throughout the year, but now we're just doing them at a much larger level. The one in Rock Island is, I will say, a little more special to me, only because we worked with the city and we worked with the chamber to be able to do this more as a placemaking project where we involve the community to come out and sure. be able to make this decision. So we worked with the community on both like the initial designs of like, you know, what people wanted to see in Arts Alley. And then when we narrowed it down to 10 designs for the two murals and we put them onto foam core boards, did an event at Rostox where people could essentially vote for their favorites. And then we chose the top two. And one was Atlanta Dawn and the other one was Nicole Salgar, Atlanta being local, Nicole being from Miami. And they created two beautiful pieces that I think work really well with one another. But also Atlanta and Nicole worked really well with one another. I mean, yeah. They had a great time out there,
yeah.
Which is also really cool to see. And Nicole loved being in the Quad Cities, which is, again, it's one of those things where people come into the community and they're like, oh, you know, I want to come back because I had such a good time here.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, I love that you brought up that local versus national artist thing, because that's something that always comes up when we bring in public art, and specifically only in visual art, you know,
it is much less in the performing arts. Like occasionally we'll get a little bit, but most of the time it is visual arts. I definitely understand it. However, I think that sometimes people forget sort of the bigger picture. What I always tell, like, you know, our team and other folks is that, you know, we're spending a lot of time looking 5 years out to figure out what's going to be the bigger impact for the broader community. And so when you're working with like a national artist versus a local artist, there's a couple things. When you're like a brand new project, when you're getting people to get sort of excited about a large scale mural project, for example, local artists is great. And I'm sure there are definitely, we know for a fact that there are local artists who can make that happen and do a really great job. However, there is sort of this concern that what if they don't do well? Or if the project doesn't go well, it basically kills the public art movement for a particular city or for a particular region. So that's one thing. But the other thing, and I think this is more important, is like looking at your public art as like a museum gallery, like a collection. And so you don't want the same artist over and over again. You want to have a collection. You want to bring people in to do something new. There's also the fact that we have a lot of communities that are underrepresented in public art in our region. And so it's not that we don't have, those folks in our community, some of those communities don't have artists who can do large scale mural projects.
Sure.
So you're bringing in something to focus on that representation point. I mean, so there's a lot of reasons as to why that can happen. But the other thing, and I think people really overlook, is the opportunity to meet, to work with, and to see art that you're not seeing on an everyday basis here, forces people to, like up their game and to do things a little bit differently. Atlanta will tell you that after seeing the work in Garaloo's mural that went up on the side of Analog, she learned a lot about one, that process, but two, what her portfolio needed to look like in order to get a job like that.
Sure.
Because she could see like essentially what she is sort of competing with on not just a local level, but a national level as well.
Well, yeah. And that sets up our artists to be able to also go out and work in other communities.
Absolutely. And that's the one it's going to be really exciting when we start seeing these artists who are, you know, calling the Quad Cities their home base, that are going, oh, I'm going to Miami to do a mural, or New York, or wherever that place is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an exchange. And I know from my time in New York, like, you know, it's easy to be a big fish in a small pond,
yeah.
You know, but when you go into the big pond, like, you've got to learn to survive there and learn what you need to do to up your skills, your talent, all of that stuff to compete there. And when you're able to then bring that back to your community, like that, it just serves to raise the boat all around for people's expectations of what, you know, just because we're a smaller city doesn't mean we don't deserve world-class art.
Absolutely.
You know, whether it's performing or visual. So, Kevin.
Ben.
What is the thing you're going to miss most about the Quad Cities?
It's really tough. I came back into the Quad Cities sort of at a little awkward time. I had a year to sort of get settled.
Sure.
And then a pandemic hits. And so it sort of stagnates some things there. Like it's hard to grow friendships and relationships like in that sort of environment. But now that like we're on the outside of that, while I've been here back in the community for 6 years, I feel like I'm just starting to meet and get to know people. And so there's a lot of people that I'm going to be like sad to leave. I mean, that's honestly, that is probably going to be the hardest part because I've built some really great relationships. The other thing is, I think that there's so many cool things that are happening here. And in the next few years, like it's just really going to take off. And so I will be a little bummed to miss some of that happening. I mean, I'll get to come back and have it, you know, see it as a tourist, and that'll be sort of, that'll be really exciting. And I think for a lot of people, like that might even be the better case scenario, you know, because like you come back and you're like, oh man, look how great this is. And you get to sort of, yeah, just be excited about your hometown, your home community.
Yeah. That's one thing I always think about being on the, like the creative and, doer side of the arts. It's like, I just want to go experience the art rather than
exactly
be the one to make it happen. But which is also very fulfilling. But
correct for very different reasons.
Yes. Yeah. What Quad City food item are you going to miss the most?
Oh, Casey's breakfast pizza. I don't know if it's necessarily Quad City's base, but like that is a Midwest staple, and that I think for most people, like getting pizza from a gas station is questionable, but mm-hmm. like that breakfast pizza is delicious. So
I hear people say that all the time. I've never tried it.
Ben, October 25th, on my last day, I am bringing in Casey's breakfast pizza.
All right. I'm excited. Uh-oh, Mark's getting the mic out to chime in here.
How in the world have you been here this long? I mean, you went to school.
I don't have a Casey's near me. I never stop at Casey's.
I mean, there's one in Milan. It's not that far.
The egg roll's on the corner of 15th and 7th, that little gas station. I think it's an Admiral. Good egg rolls.
On my last day at the QCSO, I went and bought like 4 breakfast pizzas, and there were like 3 people who were down. So that was like one of the greatest days ever, but like, you know, at the end of eating like 3 breakfast pizzas, I was sweating and sleepy. And
Mark, October 25th, right. I'll message you. You can stop by there. I'll bring it to you.
Very good. Yes. Love it. So.
All right. Well, what do you hope when you come back to visit in 5 years to see here in the Quad Cities in terms of the arts?
I hope to see a Quad City Arts Center that is both has a small performance space that I will steal from Mark Zyla and say is acoustically perfect. That also has studio spaces for artists that are at a very affordable rate. And when I think affordable, I think, you know, sort of around the $1-$1.25 a square foot, so that it is highly accessible for people in our community to be able to have their own space to create art, but also like create their own community in that space. I'd love to see a lot of other things in that space, but I think, you know, gallery, performance space, artist studios, that's what I would love to see when I come back, and to just be jealous of whoever's sitting in that chair that gets to run that place. Like that's what I want to see in 5 years.
Well, we are excited to see who sits in that chair, but also we're excited to see you come back and thriving. I know you're just starting at FSU, but
yeah.
What are your, I guess, is that your long-term goal? Do you have other longer-term goals beyond that?
Yeah, so this is, getting back into programming has been a few years in the making. 2 years ago, I went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and really as a bucket list item. I know that my wife and I, Lily, we wanted to go, and it's been on our list. We were going to go in 2020. Obviously, that did not happen. But it worked out better because I met a guy named Michael Mashala, and he has been going every year. I think next year will be his 30th year of the Fringe, and he stays the entire month. And so, you know, I talked to him, and he gave some great advice about going. And so we went, and I met a lot of people through him, saw a lot of really great shows. And one morning we went on a walk together and we were talking about it. And he says, you know, he's like, what have you thought so far? And I said, you know, when I came to the Fringe, I thought that I knew everything about the theater, like performing arts industry. And what I realized is that I know everything about, or not everything, maybe most things about the North American performing arts industry, that there's this, just a whole different style of performing art and the way that they produce it and festivals and those sort of things. And what I realized is like, I think I want to run an international festival someday. And so Michael said, well, you got to start programming. So I was like, okay. So having that thought, it was like, basically I needed to travel, needed to program. So we went again last year to the Fringe Festival and sort of like with this idea of like, let's meet some people. Let's see how this, you know, what this potentially could look like. And it just like doubled down. I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, I love this environment, but I want to program an international festival someday. And so this job at FSU opened up and, you know, it was right in line with that goal. So like it produces at a high level. It has an opportunity to bring in some international artists. And that's the reason that I even submitted. I love the Quad City Arts. I love the Quad Cities. I am not leaving for anything negative. Like, there's nothing about the organization and the community that is like, I've got to get out of here. I think there's some really exciting things. It's just, I'm more passionate about this. And sure, that's what led me to FSU. I will say, I like the idea that it's going to be a little bit warmer. when I hear about like polar vortex in the Midwest and, you know, those sort of things.
When we have negative 50 wind chills in January and February.
I will say, you know, it comes with its own thing. I mean, Tallahassee just get slammed with Helene. So like,
I was just about to drop that producer note in there. Yeah. It's like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
You can't say you don't have your own fish.
Yeah, there's, you know, it's not a perfect environment, but, you know, there, when it's negative 40 here, I think I always look at my wife and I go, why do people live here? So I'm sure that, you know, when the winds pick up and I will have the exact same thought, but, that'll be nice. And obviously getting back into programming and those sort of things. But
yeah, well, we are super excited for you. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Yeah. You know, it's sad to lose a host. Personally, I'm excited that I get to host every week.
I was going
to
say, don't have
to listen to your voice every other week.
This guy.
but yeah, it's been a pleasure working with you and for you.
Thank you, man.
I wish you all the best. Thanks once again to Quad City Bank and Trust for supporting Talking Art. For more information on Quad City Arts, you can check out quadcityarts.com. And you can follow all of Kevin's exploits in Tallahassee at openingnights.fsu.edu. Kevin, you have been a perfectly adequate boss. Thank you.
Thank you.
JK,
appreciate that.
You're great.